I don't want to take any time with introduction. He's coming back tomorrow night, so we, Lord willing, we'll do a little more of that, but he's no stranger here. But as the evangelist comes, Brother John Carter, will you remain in the presence of the Lord? Come on, put your hands together to the Lord. Come on, give the Lord praise as he comes tonight. Come on, worship the King.
Come on, now lift that even louder.
The King of
Kings,
the
Lord of Lords, His Majesty, He is here. He has spoken. He has moved. He has dwelled among His people. Come on, bless His name. There's something about that word worthy. It is attributed to worth, the value of something worthy. And it coincidentally is where we get our word worship. We worship because He's worthy. We worship because He is worth it. For years, I thought praise and worship were the same thing. They were just lumped together, and we use them almost interchangeably often in church, but there is a big difference. We praise because of actions. We praise someone for what they have done, what they have accomplished. And we know He has done a lot. He has accomplished a lot. He is worthy of our praise. Come on. But worship goes even deeper than that. Worship says when it looks like He's done nothing, there's going to be a hallelujah rise from my innermost being. Anyhow, anyway, I will adore Him. I will lift my hands, not because of what He's done, not to strong Him or Him into what I want Him to do, but because He is worthy, because He is worthy. One more time, I dare you to lift your hands and lift your voice and give Him the worship. He is worthy. Not because of what you've done, not because of what you're going to do, but because of who you are. Worthy is the Lamb. If He's worthy under this tent, come on, give Him the worship. He's due one more time. He is here. Oh, let's not miss this moment. Pastor laid down the gauntlet. Oh, He showed us, He told us that we are in a moment that we cannot miss, that we must capture, that we must grasp hold of. And tonight, I have simply one word. It's not going to take me long. And I'll give you that one word in a moment. But I'm going to read to you from John's Gospel. Once again, stand with me. All over the building, John chapter number 20. I will begin there. And then I will read just one verse from John chapter number 21. John chapter 20. And we'll begin reading at verse 30. When you got it, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. Stop. I am an avid reader. I love books. And every book I have ever written, or I have ever read, or I have ever even looked at,
This to me sounds like a summary, a closing, a benediction. Are y'all with me? He wrapping it up. Many other signs did he do, but I told you these that he might believe. He's wrapping it up. He's saying in summary, he's closing. And then chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again. Somebody shout again. To the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise, showed he himself. I want you to look at your neighbor. On this night, this revival, where the theme is the best is yet to come, look at your neighbor and tell them this is not the final chapter. Come on, high five somebody. Say, this is not. I don't care what the devil said. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what has come against you this year, 2024. I am here to announce to you there's another chapter. Pick up your pen. Your story is not over. God has another chapter, another miracle, another room, another mandate, another assignment, another victory, another blessing. This is not the final chapter. The best is yet to come. If you believe it, lift your voice and give him a shout across this area. I feel this word tonight. To the tabernacle, it's not the final chapter. The best is not behind you. It is still in front of you. You may be seated for the moment in the presence of the Lord. This is not the final chapter. As I said, I'm an avid reader. I love to study and read about great preachers, prophets, evangelists of the past. One book I came across some years ago was from Clarence McCartney's landmark sermon. And he ended up writing a book entitled The Bible's Greatest Words. He said the saddest word is sin. The most beautiful word is forgiveness. The word that never comes back is now. We'll never have this moment again. Come on. The hardest word often is no. The meanest word is whisperer. He said God's favorite word is come. The invitation. The most dangerous word is tomorrow. He said the most mysterious word is why. The weakest word is if. The word that opens heaven is repent. The word that takes in all others, he said, is heaven. Both the sweetest and most bitter word is memory. He said the word that conquers all is prayer. The most inevitable word is death. The word that is the greatest teacher is experience. How many knows that to be true? But for me, as I have studied the Word of God, and I don't want to take anything away from the bishop's message, but as I have read and I have studied, there is one word that comes up in the Bible over and over and over. You can't escape it. You can't get rid of it. It's there more than sin. It's there more than devil. It's there more than hell. Come on. It is the most popular besides conjunctions such as and the. The word you will find on nearly every page of the Word of God is a little word that starts with an A. It's in the first verse of chapter 21. It is the word again. Jesus appeared to his disciples again. The word of the Lord came unto me again. Howbeit the hair of Samson's head grew again. Noah released the dove again. Come on. Oh, he appeared to his disciples.
Christ again and again. When I got saved, I got born again. When Jesus got up from the grave, he said, I'll rise one of these days. My blessed hope is a trumpet sounding, and the Lord said, I'll come
again.
It's the word you can't escape. It's the word you can't get away from. There's no end to God's agains. He never runs out of agains. No matter where you go, no matter what you've done, no matter what enemy of hell has come against you, the theme of the Bible is God will do it again and again and again. Oh, I came to announce at this tent revival where the theme is the best is yet to come. God has got an again and again and again and again for you, for your family, for this church, for your ministry. If you believe God is able to do it again, revive us again, restore us again. Men can't stop again. I say it again. Men can't stop God's agains. If you believe God specializes in agains, I dare you to give him a shout, my God. When he made the first flower, when he made the first tree, when he made the first blade of grass, he said again and again, again. Again, again, he is the God of the again. The God that never runs out. Come on, that never stops. There is nothing that can halt him, intimidate him. He specializes. He loves to do it again and again. He told Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house, and there you'll find him working at the wheels. And when I saw the vessel break, when I saw it marred in the hand of the potter, he made it again. He didn't throw it away. He didn't go looking for more clay. He made it again. Another vessel, it's still it. It's still the same one. But between it and another vessel, he made it again. I wonder if there's anybody in here that can testify that he made you again. He did it again. He forgave you again. He helped you again. Oh, he's the God of the re. Come on. He's the RE God. Our favorite words in church is, come on, RE words. Revive, come on. Restore, renew, refresh, recharge. I dare you to look up RE in Webster's dictionary. You know what it'll tell you? RE means again and again and again and again. I don't know why churches think, that God runs out. That God gives up on anybody. That God throws anybody away. How many ministries, churches, religious folk think the last move was the last move? I'm going to try that again. I said, we think the last move, the previous move, was the last move, the final move. But I am
stand here to announce the theme of this meeting. The word God told me is to tell you the last move at Judah Tabernacle is not the last move. The best is yet to come. Just like the wine at Cana in Galilee, He has saved the best for last. Every time He does it, He outdoes Himself again and again and again. He can't stop, won't stop. He is the God of again. Somebody in here. We ought to praise Him again. We
said, you know what, I'd accept that, but I heard the sound. I don't care what you see. I heard the sound of an abundance of rain. He looked at that servant and said, go again. Not one time, not two times, not three times, not four, not five, not six, but seven times. We say He went seven times, but He already went once. And He said, go again seven times. Seven plus one is eight. And eight is the number of new beginnings. I wish you would have somebody shout again. Oh, you need to look at every devil in hell. Every negative voice that told you you don't see nothing and don't get nothing, can't have nothing. Go back and look again. Until what you see lines up with what I heard. Oh, I wish somebody that's ready to go again, ready to shout again, ready to bless Him again, stand on your feet. Again. Do it again. Do it again. I don't care how long it's been. I don't care how dry you feel. I don't care how sick you've been. I dare you right now to shout, praise God. Again. Jesus died one Friday. The old timer said, might have been Thursday. Oh, not my job to debate that. Jonah's in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. So must the Son of Man go to the heart of the earth. Oh, but He went in the grave, took the keys of death and hell and the grave. And He rose. He got up. Come on. And John said, this is a good place to land my plane. This is a good place to finish my story. He appeared to us. He walked through the door. I don't mean He opened the door. I mean He walked through the door. He showed us His hands. Showed us His feet. And oh, honest Thomas. Yeah, I said honest Thomas, not doubting Thomas. Oh, we messed up with Thomas. Because it wasn't that Thomas doubted the Lord. Thomas said, Peter, after I saw you cut ears and cuss that little maids, and I saw you denying three times. I refuse to believe that he showed up for you, and he won't do it again for me. And if he'll do it again, I'll put my hand in his hand. It's a good place for me to stop. And he writes the words that I read to you. He said, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a closing message. That sounds like a benediction. He done a lot of other things, but I shared the ones he led me to share. And I'm done. I'm bringing my gospel to a close. And even theologians speak and believe. You can look this up. You can research it out. He ended his gospel with 20 chapters. In fact, 20 is a good number. Come on. Why go to 21? When you got 20, you got a perfect 20. He stopped right there. But then some time later, we don't know if it was months or years, he said, hold on. I got a post-credit scene. Hold on. I got an epilogue to write. Hold on. He appeared one more time. And I cannot leave my story without telling you what it is. So Jesus appeared to his disciples again. I don't know who this is for, but somebody, the enemy has talked you into believing that the best is behind you, that your best years have been spent, that you've seen your greatest revival, you preached your greatest message, you've sung your greatest song, you've witnessed your greatest miracle. But the theme of this meeting is the best is yet to come. David said, let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. I came to declare to you, open your mouth on this Monday night and write another chapter, write another story. Let the devil know my greatest chapter is still to come. Before you take your seat, find you about two or three people and tell them my best chapter is coming. You thought chapter one was good. Oh, get ready for chapter two. Get ready for the next seat. I dare you to find about three people and say, stay tuned. Manure. I'm listening to the animals. It's mess. It's junk.
drunk, we're getting cabin fever. Oh, but the window's open, and I'm about to release the dove of the Holy Ghost again. Again. John said, I got to make an amendment. I got to do like Marvin, film a post-credit scene. I got to set you up for the sequel. What's the sequel? The book of Acts. He said, I got to give you chapter 21, because, see, every division of 10 is an ending and a re-beginning. Come on, do I have a witness? Oh yeah, when you get to zero, you start back at 1. 20 and then 21, I'm back at 1. Woo! John said, I gotta tell you how chapter 20, he got up, but don't leave him in the grave, preachers. Come on. Because he got up. It's not the end of the story. We started back at 1. In fact, we met him on the Sea of Galilee fishing. And then the last time we saw him was back at the Sea of Galilee fishing. We came full circle. Oh, God.
Hallelujah.
Come on, y'all riding with me tonight? I gotta tell you how it came full circle. Verse 2 said, Peter said, I go fishing. Nothing wrong with fishing. Fishing's alright. But Peter was fishing when the Lord met him. And the Lord said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. You fishing too low, Peter. You fishing on the wrong level. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. I can understand if Jesus was still in the grave. Peter said, well, it was a good run. It was a good 3.5 years. We've seen some great miracles. But now he's died. He's been crucified. Might as well go back to the dock. Sitting on the dock of the bed. I'm going to go back to what I was doing before I met him. I'm going to go back to what I know. I'm going to go back to what's comfortable. I'm going to go back to what's easy. I can understand that. But Jesus has risen from the dead. Peter has seen him 2 times already. Why ain't you catching men, Peter? Why are you back where you were at the beginning? Y'all sit there and act like y'all ain't never went back to what you was doing when the Lord found you. You never went back to what was comfortable, what was easy. Come on. And then I love it. Jesus, if I was Jesus and I seen him and all them jokers and other disciples followed him and they right back where I found them, after I had risen from the dead, I would be like, I'm going to find me some new disciples. I'm going to find me some new apostles. These cats didn't work out. They already back. They know I got up. And they already back where I drug them out of. They're already back where I found them, where I met them. And then, Jesus goes back to the Sea of Galilee. John calls it now, it's been renamed the Sea of Tiberias. I've been over there, it's called, but it's still the Sea of Galilee. Come on. The names change, but the places stay the same. Our old watering hole. Come on. Where do you get your drink? Come on. It may not be Bud Light. But what? Where is it you get your fix? Where is it you're comfortable? What is it you run back to every time stuff doesn't go the way you want it to. Jesus, by all rights, could have said these idiots are right back where I met them, back at one, back at the beginning. I'm going to start over. I'm going to find somebody else. But he is the God of again and again. He never stops. And he got to go back to the same place he found you. He met you to get you again. He'll do it again and again and again. I wonder, I know all you perfect folks are sitting there like, you don't know what I'm talking about. But everybody in here that's in heaven, I have him come back for you. What was easy. Going back to what was comfortable. And Jesus comes to the shore. Here's what I love. The first time he met him, he said, let me get in the boat. But he's already told him, it's better for you that I'm leaving. Because I'm going to send the Holy Ghost. I'm going to send the Comforter. These 3.5 years, I did it for you. I did it in front of you. But now, I'm going to do it through you. Oh, for 3.5 years, you watched me do it. Now I'm sending you forth to do it on your own. But remember, I'm still standing on the shore, and he's still standing on heaven's back shore, and he's watching, and he's speaking, and he's calling. Oh, come on, do I have a witness? I told you he's setting us up for acts. And I love his question. Children, have you any meat? Have you caught anything? In other words, is what you're doing working? You keep going back to that. Is it working for you? Back to them same toxic relationships. Are they working for you? Back to that same habit. Is it working for you? Back to that same thing. How you spell relief. Is it working for you? Come on. Back to your old go-to. How's that? I dare you to high-five somebody. Just ask, how's that working for you? How's that working for you? Oh, every time you don't get what you want. Every time, oh, they feel like God lets you down. Every time you let God down, you disappear. Oh, we don't see you Sunday. We don't see you Wednesday. You're right back at your old fishing hole. Come on. So to speak. Oh, you're right back where he found you before you followed him. But he'll keep coming back again and again. Say, how's that working for you? When are you going to realize I'm the only one that's got what you need? They said, we ain't called nothing. We don't know much about Peter except he was a fisherman, and he was a poor one at that. Every time Jesus finds him, he's fished all night and caught nothing. Man, if I was Jesus and I only got to choose 12 to change the world, to turn the world upside down, I'd be picking doctors, lawyers, politicians. I'd be picking Albert Einstein. I'd go talk to Elon Musk. Come on. But he goes and picks a bunch of lowly fishermen. And if I'm going to go to the docks and pick a fisherman, I'm at least going to pick somebody that's catching something. But that's what I love about Jesus. He'll find the ones. Come on. He'll find the ones that keep coming. believes he'll do it again. Stand on your feet. I'm almost done. Lift up your hands. Lift up your voice. Holy Ghost, he just said, I don't want you to finish the chapter because they're going to finish the chapter. Here's where I ran the plane. Here you are right back where I met you doing the same thing. So for my last miracle, before I ascend to the right hand of the majesty on high, why don't you cast your net on the right side of the ship? It looked like left, but this is my right. So that means if they on the right, that means they must have been, if he said cast it on the right, they must have been on the left. And I've heard it preach. I've heard it preach, but I don't think he was thinking about politics. That'd be easy to preach, but that wasn't what he's talking about. And I don't think, I've heard all kinds of old-time preachers say, he said, get on the right side, cause you're on the wrong side. Get off the wrong side, get on the right side. If something ain't going good, you want to get them shout, do that. Just start saying it. Praise God. I've seen some guys do it, and it works. Hallelujah. I don't think he was talking about left side, right side. Wrong side, right side. Y'all ready for this? He's on the left side. He said, cast it on the right side. The net gonna go under the boat either way. It's not about which side it is. He's saying, all I need you to do is make one motion. All I need you to do is turn around. Woo! The difference between empty and full, defeat and victory, that believes all it takes is one turn. Stand on your feet and just turn around. Turn around. He said, all I need from you to do it again, to give you a new beginning, to give you a new chapter. I started here at the sea with the catching fish, and I'm going to start again here at the sea. The book of Acts didn't start with an upper room and tongues of fire. It started with a turn. I wish somebody in here that wants to turn around, jump up right now all over this building. If you keep sitting there, you'll make me think you want me to preach another hour. Come on. Come on, I can. I got a whole half a chapter. But I'm going to let you write it. I'm going to let you push it. I'm going to let you in it. Come on. Turn around. Turn around. Turn around. And Pastor, there's one difference between the first time Jesus let him catch fish, Luke 5, and this time. That time, the net broke. They didn't have what it takes to hold it. They didn't have the capacity to receive it. But I love what John said. This time, the net didn't break. Woo! I'm going to tell you this time, somebody, are you ready? God's going to do it again. And the best is yet to come. Because this time, you're ready to hold it. This time, you're not going to lose it. This time, you've got the capacity to receive it. Thank you. on the door long enough. My back's had holes in it long enough. My neck's been torn long enough. Last point. John said, I believe that's Jesus. You think? How many times has Jesus showed up in our midst and we didn't recognize him? We didn't see it. This chapter is included. This chapter was amended and added. Because if it had not been, we would not understand how Peter could stand up and preach at the day of Pentecost and 3,000 get saved. Yeah. Jesus don't come out to the boat because he's got coals of fire waiting. He's already got fish waiting on the fire.
Come on.
He's got an appointment with Peter. I've heard it preached so many ways. Well, there's different Greek words for love. That's good, but one day I preached that, but then I realized Jesus spoke Aramaic. It's okay. It's not in the language, it's in the math. Lovest thou me? Yeah, Lord, lovest thou me? For every time you denied me, I've got grace again and again and again and again. Somebody lift your hands. Lift your voice. Come on. My favorite part, I'm laying in my plane. John said it's the Lord. When Peter realized it's Jesus, he said, here I am. I know I walked on water a few chapters back. I ain't worthy to do that now. I'm too weak to do that now. I'm too broken to do that now. But one thing you can count on with Peter. Old cussing Peter, old cutting Peter. One thing you can count on with Peter. I'll walk on the water when I'm high. But even when I low, if I can't walk on the water, I'll dog paddle and kick and splash in the sea. Whatever it takes to get to Jesus. Come on. The one that once walked on the water said, I don't care how stupid I look, splashing in this sea, I gotta get to Jesus. He never left me. He I wonder, is there anybody in here ready to get to Jesus tonight? That believes this is not the final chapter. He'll do it again and again and again. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet across this room. I simply want to say, I'm not going to do a long, drawn-out altar call. The power of the Holy Ghost is in this place. I have delivered the word that he told me to deliver. He has spoken through his